My father immigrated from a boot manufacturing town in the 1950s to New Zealand, and he was a mountaineer. It was the call of the wild, remote Southern Alps that brought him to this country. And as a young boy, a small child, many times I remember lying in a mountain hut called the Homer Hut in Fiordland, tucked up in a sleeping bag, cocooned away in a bunk, in the early hours of the morning, awake, with the smell of an old sort of soiled pillow in my nostrils, and the sound of a Optimus 8R Primus whirring away, heating porridge down below, as my father and his mates prepared to go out into the darkness to scale the peaks and faces of the Darren Mountains. It would be 20 years later, and I would be stirring porridge on that self-same chuffing Optimus 8R Primus. I was camped in the Sierra Mountains in Northern California with a good friend of mine, Alex. We weren't situated on any normal sort of camping sort of site. We were sitting on a 8x4 rock ledge more than 2,000 feet above the valley floor. This was El Capitan, the granite monolith in the Yosemite National Park. It was in the morning of the third day that we'd been on this rock face, and we were ready for action. In El Capitan, there's no portaloos, but there's plenty of long drops. So what we did was, or what the normal procedure was to poo into a paper bag, go somewhere off and throw this paper bag as far as you could off route to the valley floor. So having done this, we start off climbing up this big white face, following fine cracks. Each person leading, the second are coming up behind, cleaning the pitch, and then swapping over and carrying on up. It's early in the morning, and I'm leading a pitch, and all of a sudden there's a dull thud above my head. I look down and I'm covered in this soft brown substance. It takes a second for my nostrils to send a signal to my brain that it's shit. It's probably human shit. My mate Alex yells out, "Look out!" I push myself against the face, making myself as small as possible, thinking, "What now?" All of a sudden, something soft and white flutters down and lands on my shoulder. I look at it. It's toilet paper. Fuckers! A guttural, wild scream of an angry young man. We carry on. It's late in the evening and we've reached our next bivvy spot, another ledge further up. I'm lying on that ledge looking up at the next section of the climb. It's a classic grand, great roof, a very beautiful section of the climb. I'm looking at it with a sense of intrepid fear. Earlier in the season, another climber seconding up across the horizontal crack that separated the wall from the roof had fallen. He'd fallen to the end of his rope and had died against the rock. He'd hung there for several days before they could recover the body. Along and up to the corner is the next pitch, the pitch that I will lead myself tomorrow morning. And there, a similar sort of thing happened where a climber died. The lead climber had come across the flake which was there and it had broken off in his hand and he'd fallen with it and it had cut his rope and he'd fallen to the valley floor. That night I'm lying in my sleeping bag trying to sleep. It's impossible. My mind is full of thoughts of the terrible extreme dangers of gravity and my own mortality. The next morning, when I reach that pitch, I'm totally immobilized with fear. I cannot move. I can see the brown mark where the rock had come off, and I can see the rusty piton stain which had broken off that flake when the young man had hit it with his hammer. I look down between my legs and I can see thousands and thousands of feet of nothing to the valley floor below. I'm frozen. I cannot move. Fear has locked me up completely, and it will take a full 5 minutes of standing there before I can shakily move past that particular section and carry on up. That night, we reach our final bivvy situation, the ledge at the just below the top, and I'm sitting there. It's it's four more easy pitches tomorrow, four more rope lengths, and we're going to top off this El Capitan. Alex and I sit eating the last of our cold chili out of dinted, bashed cans with forks held by bloodied and swollen fingers. But we're happy. We're happy because we've climbed El Capitan. And later on that evening, when Alex sleeps, I sit in the darkness looking down at the valley floor below, watching the little red and white lights of the cars coming and going from the valley. And up above, I gaze up at a clear starlit night. Now, I've slept in many different bivouacs in beautiful places around the world, but nothing will ever be as special as that night when I sat there between heaven and earth in sort of a meditative state, the state in which dreams are formulated. But that particular night, it was a moment when the teenage dreams of a young rock climber came alive. And beside it sat the love for a father who had come halfway around the world to answer the call of the wild and had shown to his son the sounds of it. Thank you.